our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came and said, when he saw him, and fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was about 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
First, may I say how delighted and honored I am to be back with St. Timothy's, and I thank you for your prayers. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In relating the stories of the woman suffering in body, mind, and spirit, and the father agonizing that his daughter is dying, Mark points to the central role in their lives of faith and hope and courage. This humble woman with this mysterious illness of bleeding for 12 years, she's been shunned, she's denied motherhood, and she's been set aside and now penniless despite all her efforts. She's ritually unclean. She cannot go to the synagogue and worship with their community. What disgrace and what shame. Being shamed is one of the most blistering and soul-withering experiences that any human being can have. Shame goes beyond embarrassment or even humiliation. We've all had those moments, whether being young or older. We've had those moments of feeling embarrassed or humiliated. But shame is something else. Shame goes beyond in its ostracizing, in its shunning, in its setting aside and excluding. It's because of who this person is, not what this person has done. And how can someone change to another person when they've done their best? She is now a person without worth, which is what happens for a person who feels shamed, that they have no intrinsic worth. Yet this poor woman kept her faith. No matter what, she never lost hope that someday she would be healed. And Jairus, leader of the synagogue, implored Jesus in full belief and faith that his daughter could be revived and return to life. And Jesus does. He does the great act and mercy of healing. These people are changed and their lives are restored. When we reflect our lives in the last 2 years, we have been changed. Not perhaps all at the brink of death, but we have changed. We've met hardships of illness and suffering and death. Millions of deaths overwhelming us with sadness and grief. Millions around the world and tragedies continue, although we hope and pray and work to see that the rate is slowing of suffering. We ricocheted from alarm to despair. We've skidded from trust to distrust, from hope to loss, from faith to doubt, and round we go again. Our emotional stores have been depleted, and never more than now are the challenges of faith and courage and hope acute. We've learned more about ourselves, haven't we? Sometimes coping well, sometimes maybe not so well. Have you asked yourself, have I lost ground? Have my attitudes, beliefs, and premises on which I have lived shifted or changed? Am I the same person? Probably not. We feel more vulnerable. We don't know what to expect. Many have suffered with anxiety and depression. And we also see the flames of anger and rage everywhere. We have unmasked, but we have unmasked the depth of our divisions. In our culture, the fragility of our civic life, and the great depth and breadth of need and hardship of so many in so many places. Maybe we've had some assumptions shaken as we face to face with our own tribal nature. Some have been excluded, some shunned, some shamed, and perhaps sometimes we have simply forgotten to look more closely at others and to look more closely at ourselves. But God is with us, and Jesus always beckons us into new relationships, new ways of seeing people, being with people, meeting people. And now it is our time to move from backward to forward, to move beyond regression, beyond retreat, to recovery and reconstitution. It is time to refresh our identity as followers of Jesus. We look to the cross as the central symbol of Christianity. The vertical axis can be seen as the cross come to us, planted on earth, grounded in it, and yet straight up reaching into mystery, into the beyond. The horizontal axis can be symbolic of our lives on earth. We are embodied spirits into whom God has breathed life here. The level on which we live is here on the horizontal of the cross. But where is the strongest and safest place to be? The center is the strongest and steadiest place to be. This is the place where we find balance. This is the place where we meet Jesus, Jesus incarnate, Jesus ascended, Jesus resurrected, and Jesus with us. It is the place where we come to renew our commitment to live a Christ-centered life. When we lean into the faith of centuries in God, we look to the woman, the grieving outcast, and the desperate father, as Jesus revived this mature woman and this young girl by giving them new life. Imagine this woman slowly being welcomed back, people amazed. She seems to be healed. Maybe we've not been very kind to her. Maybe she could be cleansed and come back into the temple with us. Really, we feel sorry. And for the young girl and her mother and her father and maybe younger brothers or sisters and all her family and all her neighbors and loved ones gathering around her, changing their wailing to rejoicing. What miracle of healing. And this is what Jesus does. Jesus was always approachable, wasn't he? Even when his followers tried to protect him. Jesus wants us to approach him. God in Jesus sees us unmasked and even undressed. We can bring our smallest selves, our hidden parts, to be restored to wholeness. We have only to ask, and there's always more. In the daily email message from the brothers and monks at the Society of St. John the Evangelist, Brother Jeffrey Tristram writes, "I believe each of us has a duty to call out the greatness in one another, then do all we can in our words, our prayers, and our actions to fight anything in our society which would prevent these precious seeds from growing and coming into fruition." These precious seeds. It is us for now to witness to greatness, to witness to the light, the love, and the life that God in Jesus is with us and restoring to us. We are being restored. Be attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit as it hovers over you with sighs too deep for words. For each of us, for each other, we are to call out the greatness in one another. We are coming back. For hope never fails, and resurrection is always happening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.